in geek. Oh.
Hello to
Tuesday. Hello to us. For the week in geek.
That was not my finest moment. I'm so glad that that is now embedded into history, and there's nothing I can do about it. Hello, everyone. This is the week in geek. Better. My name is Lord Garrett. I am Chief Bomb, and I've got a delightful little panel happening with the bombshells and the boy bomb. We've got Taz Pence.
Hey.
We got Toby.
Hello.
And we got Ziana. Ziana's not well, everyone, so comment below and send all your love and well wishes, because she's got tonsillitis and it's in the middle of the night for
it's
her.
4 a.m.
So, yeah, send your love to her. Don't forget, this is an interactive show, so if you do comment below or if you do tweet at us at GeekBombshells or right on our Facebook page, .com/GeekBomb, we will answer all your questions. What are we talking about, though? That's a really good start. We will be telling you what we are playing, watching, and reading with a game we like to call Power. We are also going to be talking about Halo 5, Far Cry 4, a little bit of Child of Light mini-review. We're going to be talking about new Call of Duty news, and Ziana's going to be going over that because she did a great post. Plus, if you're into TV, then Taz will be doing her TV talk with Orphan Black, the Arrow finale, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Plus, Gambit has been announced as a new Marvel character, and he's going to have his own franchise. We'll talk about that. And Alicia Malone, who is from Malone's Movie Minute, will be dropping by with a quick Godzilla review. Let's get all this kicked off with the Games Guru. Tobes, you're up. Obviously, there's big news at the moment with not only Halo 5 being announced. It was kind of announced last year at E3 with a trailer, but now this is the first look that we've had on it. Talk to us about Halo 5.
Halo 5, yes. Well, it was announced last year at E3, like all of us know. It was only called Halo. It was a running project or an untitled project, really. But yeah, Halo 5 Guardians, it's going to be a brand new experience. 343 have been working on it for quite a while, and apparently it's supposed to coincide with the release of the Steven Spielberg directed series, or produced series, so they'll be coming out around the same time. So it's set for release next year.
Next year, 2015.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I forgot what year it was for a second there. I was at the Microsoft conference last year, so kind of the effect that trailer that we saw with Halo on the whole room was amazing. I can't remember what I tweeted during it because I was live tweeting, and I remember it was like a desert, and there was like, you know, this soldier wrapped up in fabric to block from all the sandstorm, and everyone's like, what is this game? What is going on here? I thought it was like a Game of Thrones spin-off for some reason. And then it was like,
that would
and
be
then
great.
Then he pulled the material off his head, and it was like, you know, so Master Chief, what are you doing here? And everyone totally erupted, and they're like, this is so cool. But then I guess it comes down to the fact that 343 Industries, which was the gaming studio that did Halo 4, was one of the most successful games that Xbox put out that year. And Destiny is what's keeping Bungie tied up. So do you think that these two games will be going head-to-head, previous game, and hello, beautiful Teddy, you're so pretty. sorry, distracted. But it's good knowing that if you get a tattoo and you still love it, you know, a year on, then you're doing something well. Do you think that these two will be head-to-head and it'll be like old school versus new school with Destiny and Halo? That's my first question I'm putting out to everyone watching as well.
I think yes and no, because Destiny comes out this year, Halo comes out next year, but I feel like Destiny is going to have a long run since it is like sort of an MMO FPS kind of game, and it's going to get a lot of support. Like Activision have a 10-year plan for the game.
That's ridiculous.
Whether that includes sequels.
Didn't they just announce that was getting pushed back till next year, though? I could have sworn they just said it was getting delayed.
Destiny.
Destiny. Yeah.
Not Destiny.
Are you sure? I feel like I read that, but I'll Google it. Or you could.
I don't know.
The power of the internet will provide the answers. I was really excited.
Oh, no, Division. It was Division. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. These are similar names.
So, yeah, I expect Destiny and Halo 5 to sort of battle it out. But it's also going to be interesting this year, too, because the rumored Master Chief Collection, which is Halo 1, 2, 3, 4, is apparently coming out on Xbox One as well, so that's going to be more direct competition for the game. But I feel like Destiny, it's going to have that year sort of push before Halo 5 comes out, and it'll have that dedicated fan base because it is such a big game, and Bungie are really pushing it to be sort of like an expansion and something that you can just keep coming back to, whereas Halo might be just that campaign experience, and then you just have multiplayer. So I think Destiny is going to be interesting.
I'm going to put it out there. What is everyone's very first Halo experience? What does Halo mean to you? Why is this franchise so successful? What did we keep getting out of the game, and why will we keep going back to it? For me, it's Halo 3 multiplayer. That's when I got hooked. And I was playing it every Friday night with the boys as like my little social outing. Yeah, I'd be locked in a room that was like completely dark, and it was a giant theatre. Mm. So I could play Halo Link Up with like 9 other people. It was great. But that's what it means to me. Like, I love it for the multiplayer experience. I love it for the different weapons. And I think it's a really good... It's like one of my favorite sort of Link Up multiplayer games since the likes of Quake and Doom and Duke Nukem. I think it kind of sits on par with those in terms of replayability. And good games. What does it mean to everyone else? Taz, we'll start with you.
Yeah, my experience is pretty much identical to yours. Halo 3 was the first one that I played, and it was like the reason I bought an Xbox, because I used to play with my guy friends who had their weekly LAN set up, and then I was like, oh, I got to get in on this. I got to get better. I got to beat them, because I was really bad at it. So I bought an Xbox, and that was the first one I ever bought, and got really into it for a while. So that was like the only game I had on Xbox for the majority of the time I had an Xbox 360. It was sort of like the game that got me back into gaming, I guess, as well, because I did stop a little bit there when I was in high school, and then them playing it and me wanting to be in that experience made me get back into it. So it's got a big place in my heart. I've never finished a campaign, though, so that's not a priority for me.
And neither is never the multiplayer experience. Yeah. That's what it is for me. Tobes, what does Halo mean to you?
I'm exactly the opposite to you, too. I had an original Xbox, and I obviously got first one first, played through that, and then but I didn't get hooked until Halo 2, and Halo 2 is still my favorite Halo. I really love the story and how you could become the Arbiter, and the really nice sort of differentiate the sort of stuff with Master Chief and the Arbiter, and then Halo 3's multiplayer was really good. I spent a lot of time in that. I also spent a lot of time in Halo Reach's multiplayer and Halo 4's multiplayer, but I always loved the story. I finished every Halo game, and Halo 2 was the one that addicted me, got me into the series, and I just love it for the sci-fi setting. It's so different to what we have these days, and I just love running around, hitting the jetpacks, and just shooting people in the face with the DMR, because that's my thing.
Deanna, what was your first Halo experience?
God,
and everyone who's watching, comment too. What's yours?
I'm not like all three of you guys. Like, I wasn't allowed to have consoles or anything like that when I was a kid. I didn't get, my first console I got was a 360, and I didn't get that till I was like 19 or 18. We were all playing on Nintendo houses before that. So I don't even remember how I learned about Halo, but I remember that the first time I actually sat down and played it properly, like the campaign, and not just like at a friend's house, like kind of show off. I was playing the remastered one that came out. Remember they remastered the like original one that came out a few years ago?
Yeah. Pardon? Combat Evolved remastered.
Yeah, Combat Evolved, yeah. That was the first one that I actually sat down and played, and I just feel like that one gun, that pink one that shoots needles.
The needler.
I was like, that gun's pro. I love that, but otherwise, I don't have much.
That's a whole other discussion, isn't it? Like, favorite guns throughout every FPS multiplayer. Because for me, it would be like the cerebral vortex. What was that one? Is it Turok? You'd shoot at it, God. And it goes, and it would drill into your skull until it hit your brain, and then it would drill through the brain, and that's how you would die. I swear that was Turok. Oh my God. Yeah, I was gaming all through high school, so I know all of them. The Shrinker from Duke Nukem, that was great, because you shrink them, they go, and you step on them. So many good weapons. That's another conversation. I would love to tackle that. Top 10 weapons.
Yeah.
Yes. Again, if you have one, let us know. Tweet at us at Geek Bombshells. Far Cry 4 is another new announcement. Go Burger. Burger's so, my mum's nickname, by the way. That's Burger. So weird.
Okay.
Yeah, Burger's my mum. So you've indirectly just become my mother.
Wow. There's probably Freud would have a field day with this.
Yeah, right. Somewhere. Yeah.
There's probably a name for complex that what describes is the, what's the situation.
The inverse Oedipus happening right now.
Electra? Isn't that Electra?
Sorry, Tobes.
Yeah. Just continue on your chat.
Mommy.
Okay.
Hi.
Okay. Professional. Be professional.
Sorry, I'm quoting Family Guy now. Yeah. Far Cry 4.
Oh.
Himalayas.
Yeah. So it's set in Kyrat, I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's a fictional Himalayan region. It's supposed to be ruled by a despotic, I don't even know if I'm saying this right, self-appointed king, so it's kind of like Far Cry 3 in a way.
It's like a tyranny.
Yeah. Ubisoft of Montreal developing it, so, you know, that's good. And November 20 release date, which I think is the most surprising thing, you know. People are expecting this game. Yeah, people are expecting this game to come out next year. I remember there was a report, like, at the start of this year saying it was going to come out in, like, April in 2015. But, yeah, they just sort of came out of the blue with this. And I don't know. I feel like this is my little theory with this game, is that The Division got delayed last week, or the week just with this week. And that got delayed until 2015. Maybe Far Cry 4 were thinking, like the guys there were thinking, you know, if The Division get delayed, we need to have a game set in that November region where all these big games are coming out.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed will be out, but of course that's the end of October. But in that November region, they really need another big game. That's Ubisoft's thing these days. They're releasing games nearly every couple months.
Yeah.
But I think a game like this is going to really get a lot of attention, and it's going to be really a really good business move for Ubisoft.
I think Ubisoft's actually leading the pack at the moment. Activision have put hundreds of millions of dollars into Destiny in the hope that that will be their big income earner. I think, yeah. How much they put into it?
$500 million.
$500 million, yeah.
$500 million. Like, what the hell? That is so much money. But Ubisoft, like, they've got good things going, good franchises. Everyone's excited about Tom Clancy's Division. Everyone's excited about where Assassin's Creed can go. Sometimes it's a hit, sometimes it's a miss, but everyone will try it regardless, just in case it is good. Far Cry 3 was a great game, and everyone loved that one, so it makes sense to have 4. I just think that Ubisoft's in a really good position. Even Maddie, you love Just Dance. There is no denying it.
Yeah.
There is
love Just Dance. And that's Ubisoft.
Yeah. So. And not to mention, like, Watch Dogs as well, which that's is obviously true. And the it's like there's huge,
the
huge
game. Games coming
out. Yeah, which apparently Toby has. Wait, is that under embargo? Are we allowed to talk about that?
No, it's not under embargo.
Okay, cool. Played it. Which is, it sounds like it's actually going to be really good for a driving game, so.
It is awesome, and I'm really excited for it to come out.
Taz, when we were at E3 last year, when we were hanging out at the Ubisoft quarters, I had to go through there, and I'm not really, into driving games so much. Like, if I was to play any kind of driving game, I think Forza is the driving game I would steer away from the most, and sort of Speed Most Wanted or, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that the crew kind of sits in more around the Need for Speed market.
Just not trying to absolutely.
Realistic game. Yeah.
In a way it is, though. But because it's such a realistic setting, because it is set in the United States and the map is huge and things like that. So in that way it's sort of realistic. But I do like that it's got a bit of a story or, like, you know, a point, whereas Forza is just, this is a pretty looking car and a pretty looking track, and I'm going
to
drive on it.
I'd like to be able to see the person getting into the car. Like, I could kill this person if I was reckless. And a lot of the time, if you don't know there's someone in there, it's just a car. It's like a transformer. You know, it's durable, you can get it fixed. But as soon as you give any kind of personality or substance to someone in that car, that's when you learn to give a shit.
Yeah, you're not reckless. Like, pay medical bills and stuff. That'd be too realistic.
Possible for a life, and that needs to be addressed, people.
But I feel like I would spend like 2 hours making a character, perfecting my character, and then I'd get in the car and I'd never see them again. I'd be like, oh, you're wasting my time.
Would you want a scar down the eye, and then all you see, like, maybe is the back of his head, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. A reflection in the window.
A quick going around the panel, and guys, if you're watching, comment as well, and I'm going to read out some of the comments that you have been writing. Are you going to be playing Far Cry 4, Maddie?
You know, I've actually never played Far Cry, but I would play it, maybe. Everyone's ranting and raving about it, so I'd give it a go. Why not? Yeah, looks cool.
Toby?
Yeah, of course. I didn't finish Far Cry 3, but I know what happens at the end. I know a lot about the game and that. But I'm really excited for Far Cry 4. I think it's going to be really good.
And Taz?
Yeah, absolutely. I really, really, really enjoyed Far Cry 3. I played it like 3 times, I think, because there was different endings. And I want to ride elephants. That's my big point. I want to get to ride an elephant in the Himalayas.
Why not?
All right. Far Cry 3 is in my pile of shame. So when I decide to kill a week, which I don't have, I will play it. Basically, I'll play 4, though. I mean,
yeah. Luckily, they don't really tie in at all, so you can just go to town.
I'm doing a Homer Simpson / Beyonce thing from the lift, where it's just like, meh. Trying to avoid that question. Anyway, Jedi. Hello, Jedi, who is watching. Kiss, hug. We're talking about Halo. Her first impressions was, I'm pretty sure if this is the person I'm talking about, it is a her. I wasn't allowed to buy the game because I was underage, so I kept playing the demo of Halo CE, which is Combat
Evolved.
On the PC when my parents weren't home. Played Halo 2 with friends and got quite involved into the story when Halo 3 came out. I still remained pretty loyal to the Chief, which is great. And Shane Ashby, hey, buddy. He says, played all of Halo. Love the campaigns. Hey there. It's Lee, everyone.
Hello. Hi. Good morning.
AKA Stardust. Hold on. There, that's a poster. Oh,
my God. It looks like what I said it was. That's what it looks like.
I just got a message in the chat box from Ziana wondering if that's a lightsaber or a dildo. Not a girl.
It does look like that, though.
Did I slash my ass?
I didn't want to bring it up in case it was a dildo and you would get embarrassed.
We are in a lot of trouble. That's like when you look at it, how... Anyway. No, I'll show you this one. I have to put it up somehow one of these days. Every time we do, like, one of these streams...
You're awkwardly opening something?
I'm awkwardly opening something or I'm showing a new part of my room. But this one, these are pretty freaking sweet. I mean, I watched the movies. I never really got into the shows, but I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, Star Trek.
Oh, cool.
I love Star Trek. I can't wait for a new Star Trek series. There's got to be one coming out soon. There has to be. Oh, that's nice.
So that's pretty cool.
It's really nice.
Yeah. My posters, not my dildo or what else?
Well, it looked like that, okay? Just saying.
Can you imagine, like, it would just be on my bedside dresser, like, hey.
How many photos have we seen on the internet of people just having it lying out in the bathroom or on their bedside table?
A selfie, and a huge dildo in the background.
Yeah. You know they used to make, I don't know if they still do, they used to make Edward Cullen dildos. Do you remember that?
No,
it was like a dildo, and it was sparkly, and you could put it in the freezer so that it would feel like him.
Oh, my God. No.
Yes. How have you ever heard about that?
I preferred my life when I didn't know that bit of information.
You're welcome. You are welcome.
Stardust, we're quickly talking about the new news for Far Cry 4. It's going to be set in a fictional part of the Himalayas. Will you be playing it? What's your relationship with Far Cry, the series?
I've never actually played Far Cry as the like any of the series, but actually this one actually sounds pretty interesting because I think last one was like on an island or something like that, but I think the Himalayas sounds like a lot more interesting setting, so I might actually give it a go.
Sweet. Yes. Also, if you haven't jumped onto geekbomb.net, there's a great article that Toby did, which is reviewing Child of Light, which is another Ubisoft game. Obviously, Ubisoft doing very, very well with all of their games at the moment. Why should people play this one, or why should they slay this one? Smooth Lord.
Why should they play it? Wow.
Play it or delay it. Play it or mayday it.
That's good. Play or delay. That's good. Let's keep that.
Play or delay.
Okay. Yeah, play or delay.
You're just going to go with that. Well, okay. So, first of all, you should play it because it's $20 in Australia and it's $15 in the US. It's a 10-hour experience. So you're getting a lot of replayability, but you're getting a lot of value for money. But the game is actually really, really good. It's a nice little different take on JRPG. It's got a turn-based kind of setting that's ever-changing, but the story about it is sort of, it's a fairy tale adventure. The protagonist, Aurora, sort of goes to sleep one night and she wakes up in this fairy tale land called Lemuria. And basically it's been overturned by an evil queen, and it's sort of just like that. It's a fairy tale. It's basically you rallying these party members together and coming back. Yeah. You rallying these party members together and taking out this queen. So it's really fun. I actually really, really enjoyed the game. I think it's a lot of fun.
What did you give it out of 10?
I gave it a 9.4. And
9.4.
Lotus, if you got the deluxe edition, you get this. So this is Ignatius, who's your little pal, the Firefly. You find him maybe like 20 minutes into the game, and he acts as basically your little guardian. In battles, you can sort of use him to shine his light, and it sort of stops enemies on the timeline during the battle, because everyone's on a timeline. It sort of goes from a wait area to a cast area, and when someone hits a cast area, they do the spell, and it takes like either
kind of sounds like
medium.
A Final Fantasy.
It's very, very Final Fantasy or JRPG inspired. But I think one of the biggest points, and I've only played a little bit of it, but is that if you don't like JRPGs, you're still going to love this game, just purely for how cute it is. And one thing Toby didn't mention is that it is entirely in rhyme. Every bit of dialogue and story is all rhyming. Which is a really cool thing. So it feels like a fairy tale, which is a really cool sort of way.
And we can also bring that back to the fact that the person that wrote this did Far Cry 3 too. So it's very different to what he did last time. And it's a 2D game too. So
2D. I'm keen. I would love to get involved with this one. $15. I mean, you have me sold. I like the idea of, with all these games coming out, yes, you know, everyone wants to be able to get value for money, but a lot of these games are like $100. Therefore, you need to play it for 100 hours. I kind of like bite-sized games. It's like, I just want a little bit. I just want to, you know, I've got a week off. I just want a little bit of a fix. I just want a little game. I think that's kind of smart. Thank you at the Lady Jedi, by the way, who just tweeted out to all of her followers. This chat just went from Far Cry 3, Halo, to dildos and awkward selfies. I don't regret staying up.
You're welcome.
I have no regrets about this either. Also, we've got Michael Gulick, who's just jumped in on the YouTube channel. Hey, buddy, thanks so much for watching. He says, I would absolutely play Far Cry 4. Far Cry 3 was such a wonderfully immersive game that had a really intriguing story and it was done well. So usually if a game does well, you can expect good things from the next one from Ubisoft, unless it's Assassin's Creed 3.
We don't talk about Assassin's Creed 3.
Wait. There was a news thing saying that Assassin's Creed 3's director or someone joined up with the Far Cry 4 team doing work on Far Cry 4.
Oh, get it up.
Yeah.
Oh, right. In desperate need for
I
redemption.
I really hope we don't get a Connor again, because he was badly, badly put across.
Michael has also asked that we do not spoil the Arrow finale for him because he hasn't caught it yet. We promise you in this particular stream we will not be doing spoilers. because that, you know, obviously that's not fair, and we have a big spoiler policy here at Geek Bomb. We will be doing like all spoilers will be contained to geekbomb.net in articles, so you will not stumble across it unless you click it and the first thing that it says is spoilers included. So we will be going into Taz's TV talk.
Yeah. Wait, are we doing Call of Duty so that Maddie can go to bed?
Oh, Maddie wants to go to bed. Okay, yeah. Well, I thought I had to segue the century, but that's fine. I will back
that was a really good segue. I feel bad.
I don't have a girl.
I'm sorry.
I do feel bad, but I don't know.
It's true, it's true. You are not well.
The size of ping pong balls. Literally, ping pong balls. It's not nice. But,
Maddie's into Call of Duty, and she posted up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/geekbomb, a great little video, so she's here to talk all about it.
Yes. Hit it. I was waiting for you to say, take it away, or back to the studio or something. But okay, so my Minute Madness, or Super Maddie World, whatever we've decided to call this thing that I do, this week I decided to talk about the brand new Call of Duty expansion that's been announced, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Again, I'm going to talk about it. again, if you haven't seen this, you're probably, this is a quote from my video, you're probably a Battlefield fanboy or you're living under a rock. Either one of those is not an excuse, so you definitely need to watch it. It calls on the talents of Kevin Spacey, who we all know from everything. Lex Luthor.
House of Cards.
Superman movie. House of Cards. Did we not talk about that old Superman film? Yeah, they tried to revive it.
American Beauty.
Superman Returns.
No.
American
Beauty, one of the best movies made, I feel.
Ever. Seven, he was really good in. House of Cards, he's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
He's just amazing all around. Anyway, so Advanced Warfare talks basically set in the future. So Call of Duty is finally taking a step into futuristic battle like Titanfall, Destiny, Crisis, etc. And one of the questions I posed was, like, is it too soon for this expansion to come out? Because, you know, Ghosts came out in, what, November? I think
did
it come out in November
right.
or December. I'm pretty sure.
November.
I'm pretty sure it came out in around November. So it's been what, like 6 months, and already they're going to release another Call of Duty game later this year. Do you guys think it's too soon, or do you think it's perfect timing?
I don't know. They're putting out Assassin's Creed that often. I think, assuming that it's got it's enough change that it'll be distinguishable from the last one, then it's okay. But if it's just the same thing, you know, just replay it over and over again, then I don't
bit
think
of a
that it's
grab.
Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
But
that's what everyone's been saying.
That's
yeah.
normal, though. You know, like, every game company, if they've got a popular franchise, they're going to keep pumping them out. Why not? Mm-hmm. People want them. I just hope that it's different.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Sorry, Toby, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, Call of Duty's been coming out nearly every year for, what, however many there are now, there's like 11.
There's expansions, so you've got Modern Warfare, you had the Black Ops kind of angle, so there's always, it's technically not a Call of Duty game, but there's one within the,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think, like, they've got to keep pushing these games out, because a lot of people, as you'll see every November, a lot of people get really excited about these games, and they pick them up, they play them for, what, 20 hours of multiplayer, don't play single player, and that's it, and then they go on to the next game. So they need to keep that interest there, and I think Advanced Warfare is just going to be another one. Obviously, Troy Baker's voicing the main actor, and Kevin Spacey's in it, so you've got at least another niche part of the audience coming in to play the game. I'm going to play it. I mean, I'm not a huge multiplayer fan, but I'll play the single player. I played single player Ghosts, and that wasn't very good, but I don't really expect good single player campaigns on COD, but I don't know. I'll still get it, because it's Call of Duty.
Battlefield? Battlefield, do you campaign better? Call of Duty, do more. I'm going to pwn your noobs and I'm going to titty fuck your mum even though I'm 11 and I have never had a boner before.
Yeah. See, I play on PlayStation 4, so I don't get a barrage of your mum insults on multiplayer. There's sort of just nothing. No one talks. Because that's PlayStation.
Oh.
Welcome
is
to
it,
PlayStation.
Is that just an Xbox thing?
Yeah.
It is.
The community on Xbox is actually, I don't know, interactive.
I really want to be able to play.
The good people, but yeah.
I want to play Call of Duty with my mum and get my mum onto the Xbox. Every time they're like, I fucked your mum, she could be like, actually, no, you didn't. I'd be like,
but I've never experienced that, though. I've never had people be that rude.
I don't really know
where that comes from. What?
I hear people calling people names.
I mean, straight away, I'm on mute. I don't listen to anyone. I don't talk. No.
I only talk at the end.
I talk like, in Halo, like, I guess.
If I, like, carry the team. If I come to the end and I've got, like, 20 kills and, like, 4 deaths and, like, everyone else is, like, 18 deaths.
Yes!
I just go right to the end and I'm like, you guys fucking suck. And then I, like, talk and I, like, leave.
I actually really like with this particular game, I like that instead of, you know, it being a region, it's like, you know, we've seen the Iraq war, we've seen, you know, hey, let's pick on a ambiguous Asian continent, you know, that kind of thing. I like in this particular foresight, it's where we could possibly be going as a like with the world. So it's about money being able to talk. And so when you think about it, it's like a modern day version of the Unsullied. You've got, they're trained, they're the best at their job, they're all paid a complete amount, and it's whoever has the highest price tag, whoever's willing to foot the bill, gets a very, very elite army. And I think that that's actually kind of where we could be heading, you know?
In real life, who's got the biggest bomb?
Yeah, in real life. Yeah, it's like, you know, can you just imagine if you could drop billions of dollars and get a league of assassins, like actual fully trained, they've been doing it since they're 18, they decided to go into some sort of corporation and be trained to become one of the best assassins on the planet because of money. And we are in a very, very greedy society. Sorry to get all serious on everyone, but I think that this is something that could be happening.
I think that it's probably already happening and we don't even know. But back to Call of Duty, what you were saying to... Well, when you do that face, it's really distracting. But what you were saying, Toby, I think the campaign is going to be really good. I'm hoping that with Kevin Spacey, etc. behind it, I'm just hoping inside that Kevin Spacey would be like, no, I won't do it if the script was crap. So yeah, I'm really hoping that this will actually be Call of Duty's, like, crowning achievement campaign-wise. Because, like you said, Ghost was rubbish. Black Ops was rubbish. The latest one, Warfare, was... Well,
I like Black Ops rubbish. 2.
I agree.
Black Ops 2 was okay.
Hmm.
Yeah,
really?
But, like,
really?
there's not really a story.
I mean,
like, I don't think there's much of a story. Wait, which is the one where they are in, like, the future and they're in, like, the... like dead cities, like London and stuff.
That's Ghosts.
No, that's Ghosts. There was an older one. Am I mixing it up with? No, it's not Ghosts.
I've only
played a campaign on that. What was the latest one that came out before Ghosts?
Black Ops 2.
Black Ops 2.
When was Modern Warfare 2 then? Before Black Ops
2. Before Black Ops 2, yeah.
Like five entries before. Somewhere.
Five entries before.
Oh, dear.
I feel like, so the campaigns have been really different in Call of Duty, and because they've got different development teams, they're always going to be different, but Modern Warfare 1 and 2, I feel like, are still the crowning achievements of Call of Duty, because the multiplayer was good, because the stories were good.
That's what everyone talks about, yeah.
Yeah, but for me, my favorite was Black Ops 1, and that was the last one to have sort of like a star behind it, because it had Sam Worthington in it. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was in year 10 at that time, and that was like my prime Call of Duty time, because I was still, I could shout those
emotes. You were one of those annoying 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Literally, I wasn't 12, I was 15, but, you know, that was the only
time. Oh, wow, you had 3 cubes.
Yeah, so basically I didn't have any facial hair, I just had like little white thing coming out of my face. But, you know, I still think Black Ops is my favorite. I love the zombies they did in it, and I feel like the multiplayer was good. Single player was very weird, but I still enjoyed it.
Hey,
I'm thinking of Black Ops 2. I'm sure that's what I'm thinking of.
What were some of the comments from your video that you posted up?
Okay, so I have them here. Basically, every single person who has commented on the video has said that it's too soon. it's a money grab. It's teetering to the console market, and my only comment, everyone said, like, oh, it's catering to, like, the casual gamer market, and I'm like, yeah. That's because I feel like Call of Duty is one of those games, like, for casual gamers. Like, I feel like a lot of hardcore gamers, like PC gamers especially, are the ones that are complaining the most. In fact, every single person that's complained, it has said that it's, like, PC gaming is the future of FPS. They won't be playing Call of Duty on the PC because it's just a money grab. So what do you guys, you know?
I mean, like, I wouldn't call it a money grab because they've been releasing every year for the last 12 years. Or whatever, how many there are, 11 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, a lot of series release annually now, like Assassin's Creed does, and it manages to put in a different story every time. There's two Assassin's Creed games coming out this year, so developed by different studios. And people have to assume that, or know that, these games are being made by three different studios now. And that's not like a studio just got straight into it again. Yeah.
I think because they assume that, say, Ghost came out in November, and they're like, oh, they've only been creating this new game in the past 6 months, and so it's not going to be ready, it's not going to be, like, you know, it's not going to be any good, but they don't realize that another studio has taken this game and they've been working on it for a lot longer.
Yeah, so, that's just how annual franchises work now, except for the sports games, which they don't really need that much improvement, so.
It's the same engines every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that the main complaint on Call of Duty, that it's the same engine, same graphics?
Yeah, everyone wants, like, the Unreal
4?
Unreal engine. Everyone keeps talking about that. So,
there's a new engine now for this Call of Duty, apparently. So,
is it?
We'll see how it goes.
I didn't read that. Yeah, I think, honestly, like, I'm really excited for this Call of Duty. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be the best one that's come out for a while. I think it's going to be about 20 times better than Ghosts, which is... Ghosts is fun, don't get me wrong, but I only played the multiplayer because the campaign was so boring.
The multiplayer was just so not boring. Fun for me. I just really hated the maps in that game. Just so annoying. But that's Call of Duty,
It's okay, but the maps are quite limited, actually. Actually, they are quite limited. I know all the maps, and that... If you don't... That's the thing with Call of Duty. If you don't know the maps, like... You're fucked.
Yeah, that's basically it. I had
fun for new people. If you don't know the maps, it's not fun at all.
Yeah, well, when I got my next gen consoles, I got Call of Duty, Ghosts, and Killzone, and I ended up playing a lot more Killzone than I did Call of Duty, just on multiplayer, because it was just a better game.
Hey, Ziana.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for filling us in.
Yeah, you're welcome. So Alicia's waiting to jump in, so...
Yes!
I'm going to leave you guys.
Let's get Alicia in.
It's almost 5 a.m. here. I'm in Dubai, and I've got tonsillitis. And I woke up an hour early. I woke up at 3, because you were like, it's 3 a.m. Dubai time. No, it wasn't! It was 4 a.m. Dubai time! So I woke up, and it was like 10:02, and I was like, oh my god, I haven't got my invite yet. Like, I was about to message Taz, and then I was like, what is the current time in Sydney? And it was like 8:50 a.m., and I was like,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. All right, it was nice to see you guys more. I'll see you in L.A. this week.
You will.
I'm in on Wednesday. Later.
Bye.
How do I leave? Do I just close it?
Close the window.
Oh, you can close it. Yeah. Up the top, there's the hang-up button. There we go. Woohoo! All right, let's try and figure out how to get Alicia in because she's going to talk about Godzilla. But while I've got you, Stardust, did you want to chat about the Gambit announcement, which is pretty cool?
Kind of. Depends on how much you think Channing Tatum will make a good Gambit. Like, I'm not so keen.
Okay, you plead your case, I'll plead my case.
I'm not so keen on the announcement unless they have Gambit with the face thing and the hair sticking out like in the X-Men cartoons, because I thought Taylor Kitsch Gambit was really shit.
I agree with you. I don't think that Taylor Kitsch did a good job because apparently he was signed on to do three
Gambit.
Movies after
like,
that.
He comes on the screen, you're like, that is not Gambit. Gambit is...
There's nothing about it.
His accent was like... you have to have it like it was in the show. It's so frustrating. Gambit was my favourite character.
So,
he was like everyone's favourite character.
Oh, I know. Gambit and
terrible
Rogue together. So you all know Anna Paquin's version of Rogue wasn't great. Like, what the way I remember Rogue, she was this southern droll with big red hair, and she had the streak in there, and she was flying around everywhere, and she had super strength, and she was confident, she was sassy. But exactly. Unfortunately, in the movie, she was just obsessed with Wolverine for some reason, and then there was an Iceman thing, and then, who knows, but she was just not strong. Gambit, I wish we'd seen more of in those original, but it would be good that we're getting him now. I wasn't sold on Channing Tatum until I heard this from an interview, which I'll play for you. So listen really clearly, because he does a Cajun impersonation, because there's a lot of family history there, and I think that he has it to, he's got it in him, ready? If it works. Oh, amazing. Technology.
I would like to play Gambit, because I'm from New Orleans and around that area. My dad's from New Orleans, and I like to do the Cajun accent. Gambit was like always like the woman loving, cigarette smoking, drinking. Like, you know, he was the punk rock of all the superheroes. He's a thief.
So basically, he not only knows about the character that he's like this kind of the bad boy, smoking, drinking, loving kind of rascal, but he's got the Cajun ties. So his dad's from NOLA. He can turn on that Cajun accent, and I think that he actually probably has the goods to really pull this off. And was it you, Alicia? Hello, Alicia Malone!
Hi from next door.
Was it you that was telling me that Taylor Kitsch was locked into contracts and Channing Tatum actually wanted to jump on board to play Gambit but couldn't?
Yeah, it's the other way around. Channing Tatum was locked into a 3-picture deal with Paramount, so he wasn't able to play Gambit originally, which is what he wanted. But so they went with Taylor Kitsch, and then, of course, we saw what happened with Wolverine Origins, X-Men Origins, so now it's back to Channing, and now he doesn't have any more contracts he has to worry about. So I think it's a good thing.
I think that like kind of like the Deadpools of the anti-hero, like the vigilante kind of thing. I think like Captain America is so good. Thor is so righteous. You know, you've got all of these for the good of mankind. Iron Man, a complete opposite. He's, you know, the philanthropist, bachelor kind of, you know, bad boy. And how much fun is that? That's awesome. Yeah. So I think if we get Gambit in, and if we get Gambit very well, and maybe a new Rogue, dare I say it, and do it right this time,
yeah,
that would be good as well. We've got the Lady Jedi commenting and going, do you think they're going to change Gambit's look like they did with Deadpool and X-Men Origins? I don't have the heart to really talk about Deadpool and X-Men Origins, because as I keep crapping on to everyone who'll listen, Deadpool is called the Merc with the Mouth. So what do? They sew his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to cry. Like, that was just dumb. I think that they should stick to either a particular franchise of the comics and be like, we are taking directly off that. So it's not an interpretation or an artist's impression of. I think that they should kind of really stick by tradition. In a way,
X-Men is, and I'm like the one series that X-Men just doesn't do that, though. I mean, every X-Men movie has sort of, like, they don't even care what came before. They just do what they want. They make people look how they want. They make people act how they want. So I think that that's something that's definitely, I mean, not without a doubt, he's going to be different. Whether or not it's in a, or like, too different or in a good way or in a bad way, that's really the question.
Yeah, but they tend to sort of do callbacks to the original characters. Like, you've got, like Magneto, and they tend to stay pretty faithful, like, with the sort of form of his helmet, like, Professor Xavier with his wheelchair.
The Barones.
Like Wolverine with, like, the, like, crazy hair thing happening.
Yeah. So I think
so long as they sort of make some sort of callback to, like, either the original comics or the cartoons that most people are familiar with, I think it should be okay.
Cartoons. Gambit with his guy liner, and he's kind of got like a weird ski mask how it shows all of his face with the hair sticking out and the
Gambit.
I remember like watching the cartoons when I was a kid going, I'm so straight. Like, this guy is hot. he kind of, you know, established my sexuality, which is like, Channing, hello, have you not seen this?
Up to now.
Channing all over my Tatum. Have you heard about that song? No? Jimmy Kimmel, guys, look it up. Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum got together and they did a video clip about Channing all over your Tatum.
And you're in the video clip, aren't you?
Yes.
In the background. Yes.
Yeah. The right place at the right time, apparently. But yeah, I'm always loyal to the X-Men cartoons more than anything. And they're both like, shh. Just me getting a bit all over the shop now. Hey, Alicia Malone, you have dropped by to talk about Godzilla.
Yes. Right. What do you want to know? What is it worth it if it's not worth it? Well, okay, so basically, you know, the history of Godzilla, it's been 60 years since the original Godzilla, and that came out after World War II, and it very much dealt with nuclear fallout and a lot of bigger issues. Now it's been updated to modern times, but it still takes on issues with nuclear waste. Bryan Cranston stars in it, as well as Juliette Binoche, Aaron Taylor-Johnson, and Elizabeth Olsen. And they spend a little bit too long, I feel, on the human story before they get to Godzilla. Because I think when you go and see this movie, you just want to see monsters fighting each other. You don't really care about the humans caught up in the drama. And it takes an hour before Godzilla comes out. And I wish that it had a bit more humor. But that being said, when Godzilla comes, it is exciting. You know, especially if you see it in IMAX with a big screen and lots of popcorn and people get loud like they did at my cinema. It's just a big, fun summer movie.
So we should see it?
compared to Roland Emmerich's Godzilla, like, it has to be better, right?
Yeah, I saw a picture from someone who Instagrammed it from a cinema in LA where it said, Godzilla, now with 100% less Matthew Broderick. So it is definitely better than the 1998 version of Godzilla.
Oh, come on, I thought Hank Azaria as the cameraman was kind of cool.
Hank Azaria is
always cool, terrible. Though.
He's cool, but it's like the story was bad, the effects were bad. And what they did with Godzilla in that movie, a lot of people who are hardcore fans of the character really had a problem with. This time, they're really true to the character, and there are a few moments, I don't want to spoil anything, but there are a few moments that fans of the monster and fans of the other monster movies will really get a kick out of. There's a few little nods for hardcore fans in there. I say go and see it. If you go and see it in a cinema, it's not one I would ever recommend to watch on TV or download when it eventually comes out. This is an event movie, so you've got to grab your friends and just have fun with it. It's nothing serious, it's nothing fresh, it's nothing game-changing, but it's a big, dumb summer film. So, yeah, go see it.
Hey, Alicia.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do. Do the...
What?
Do it. Do the... Do your Godzilla impersonation.
Do the roar. Well, it's better when it's in a GIF form and it's not me actually doing it. Because so basically, I sat down with Bryan Cranston to talk about this movie. And at the end, I said, do you mind if I do a roar and you pretend to be scared? So at first, I went, roar. And he went, he said, come on, you can do better than that. So I went, roar. And then he went, and it makes for a great GIF moment, or GIF, however you say it, or a great Instagram moment, but not that impressive when you hear it in person.
I thought that was pretty impressive.
Okay. I was terrified.
I actually chased Bryan Cranston because I interviewed him for at Comic-Con. We were both there, and I actually physically chased him, and he was scared.
Sure he was.
You can check out more from Alicia at malonesmovieminute.com, and the GIF is up on her Instagram, which is just search for at Alicia Malone. Everyone, get in your last-minute questions right now because we have 10 minutes left to have TV talk with Tara. And you just kept getting pushed back and back. Finally.
Who cares about TV?
Me! We aren't going to spoil anything from Arrow. We will be chatting about the finale. No spoilers, though. We may be writing something up on the website, geekbomb.net, if you would like. See you later, Alicia. So that'd be good. Alicia had a question. for her, but I know that she wouldn't want to answer it anyway. Shane Ashby has written in saying, Alicia, do you think they'll do a standalone Deadpool movie? Because Origins was so bad. On behalf of Alicia, so too many people know about comics and computer games and, you know, all the geeky stuff. She likes to prefer to base her knowledge on the classics, the other C. So I don't think she gives a shit about Deadpool, which is fair enough, but I do. And when I recently, a year ago, I was able to interview Ryan Reynolds for Turbo, which is about, you know, bloody
really fast snails.
This is Alicia and I in Barcelona for Turbo. We're doing Stank Face. Anyway, I didn't really want to talk about that movie. I wanted to talk about Deadpool. So in my last question, I was like, what's going on with Deadpool? When are we going to see the movie? How is this all happening? We need to know. Tell me. And you guys, jump online. The script's there. The script has been written, and it is available to read on the internet. Do I want to play it? Yes. Will it be happening? Who knows? In the script, they name and shame studio executives, real people with real names. Because one of the interesting things about Deadpool is that he goes out of character. He knows he's in a comic. He knows that he is not real. He knows that this is a strip that he is in. So when he goes out of the character and talks and mentions these studios, these are real people. So no studio in their right mind would fund potentially defamatory comments and defamatory information. In saying that, he said that it's an R-rated movie and that most studios won't go near R movies because it completely cuts off all a big chunk of the demographic, because video games and comics and comic book characters and heroes are becoming more mainstream. There's no point in doing something that a lot of the target audience will not be able to watch. So I think it's fascinating. If anyone's really interested in the Deadpool movie, the script's available online if you want to read it. Will we be seeing these movies? We just need that dickhead poker player who's got millions of dollars to fund it so we can see it, and us adults get to watch it, and we can have a hella time. But until then, don't hold your breath, buddy. Tara, over to you. TV talk. We got 10 minutes. Hope that answers your question, by the way, Shane. I hope that was what you needed to hear. But we've not only seen the Arrow finale, there's also a big revelations happening in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is within the Marvel Universe. So let's tackle both DC and Marvel in TV land, and you also want a little bit of a spiel about Orphan Black, if I'm not mistaken. Geekbomb.net, if you haven't read the latest article. Spoiler-free chat about the finale with Arrow. Let's go.
Yeah, so it's going to be tough to talk about it without spoiling it, but we won't. We'll just talk about it in the broad sense, but... I mean, you've watched it, Maud, right? You watched the Arrow finale anyway.
How did you feel about it?
Were you happy with it? Were you satisfied?
I'm kind of trying to figuring out sort of the relationships that Oliver has with the females in his life, because he's known to be promiscuous and, you know, shag anyone with legs, but it's I didn't like him and Emily together. That's her name, isn't
you
it?
Don't,
that's
yeah, Emily Bett Ricards. No. You don't like her?
Love Felicity. Felicity.
God, I was like, what are you talking about?
Sarah's her name.
Yeah, no. Sarah has a weird party face that frustrates me every time.
It's getting to the point that I can't actually stand watching her.
I know, I can't deal with it. I agree. It's so frustrating.
Last week she came into my gym and she's so tiny and she walked past and I was like, oh my God, it's Sarah from Arrow. And then I went... I was like, that's so mean. But I don't know if it's just trying to embrace the whole, you know, angst and anger because she's in a situation and she's really a tough woman now. But whatever's going down, it's... I think that's
That he does sort of get around with all these different women that can be a bit frustrating. One of the interesting things about actually that actress that actually plays Sarah is that she is an incredible stunt woman. So that was something I didn't know about her. So a lot of the stuff... She does martial arts, she does breakdancing and stuff. So I was really impressed when I learned that about her. But...
she's probably so lovely as well.
Oh yeah, she seems like she would be. But I agree. I just wasn't a fan of her character in general. But I think that's interesting. There is a lot of those relationships are sort of wrapped up. A lot of them are left open. I think we've got it's an interesting sort of ending in that we're not sure what will happen next season in terms of his romantic interest, which I think is cool. One of the things about the finale is that I felt like I didn't really get insight into what the next season will be. There wasn't really anything set up. Specifically, I think it wrapped it all up really well. The whole season of the drama with the city and with Deathstroke and all of those issues came to the climax. But then afterwards, I was kind of like, where are we going to go from here? What are you overshadowing? What are you foreshadowing? I wasn't really sure. So it's going to be interesting to see how season three will, you know, mix it up and make it different.
What was season one's finale again? Because I feel like that was more of a cliffhanger.
I can't remember. Something to do with the island or, I don't know. I don't even know. It was a long time ago.
Who is Oliver's, like, best friend?
Tommy.
Yeah, Tommy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
Wasn't like a revelation to them?
That's true.
Yeah. There was.
And when did we reveal who Thea's real dad was?
That was in season two. Probably mid-season of season two.
Okay.
Actually, later than that. It wasn't that long ago, so you might have spoiled someone, but whatever. Or no, because you didn't say who it was. But yeah, so the next season is going to be interesting. I'm pretty excited to see some more backstory into Oliver after, you know, because we've obviously been exploring his time on the island, and now it's going to come to a...
That's going to come to an end, but it's also, it's the next chapter of once he got off the island, because 5 years is a long time, and by the sounds of it, we've only reached the first two if each season is a year.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. It's going to make for good TV next season. I just hope we get some new characters, some new villains, and I'm interested to see how it will tie in with The Flash, which is going to start up soon, and those are obviously going to have a bit of a... We've seen in the trailer that Arrow is going to make cameos in The Flash, so...
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a cool tie-in where we might be able to watch both this and get some insight into both.
Yeah, I'd love to see more Felicity. I think she's a really great character.
Yes.
I've noticed, you know, obviously she's been very open with her feelings. Well, it's been clear to the viewer where her feelings lie, and I just don't understand how the Arrow can be so naive to it.
Yeah, I don't think but that he is. I mean, they addressed that. They did address that earlier in season two where he went to her, you know, if I was in any other situation, then you would be the one that I would be with because you're safe, but I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to put you in this situation. I don't want to... you know, ruin the relationship we already have. So they did address that. The problem is, I mean, as much as I love Felicity, she's not a fully fleshed out character. She's very 2D. She is in no position at this stage to ever be more in the show. She could never be a love interest because she doesn't really have enough personality there. If they did choose to bring that in, then she would have to be built up a bit more.
I'd like to see Stephen Amell have chemistry with one of his love interests because far, who have we seen? Helena, that was kind of hot. I got it. I got that he was attracted to someone who was strong and feisty, and she was like, damn, and he actually showed that he cared about her. But him and Sarah, oh, my God, it was like he was kissing his sister, honestly. That was just like, there was no chemistry.
Yeah, I have noticed that too. I'm not sure if maybe he's just not capable of having that sort of chemistry with someone, but, you know, you got to just take that. If they don't have great chemistry, whatever, as long as he still gets naked, it doesn't really matter.
That's true. He hasn't done a bar climb in a while. I'm counting the days. It's like a calendar. Nope. Didn't do a bar climb today. And what's the big news that's happening in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? And no one here watches it, so...
I'll just talk to you. Well, it's good. That means I won't spoil it. I'll try and keep it as a sort of broad thing. One of the biggest things about the finale, and it's not a spoiler to say, I'm sure it's all over the internet, is that Nick Fury comes into it. So he has a very big cameo in the finale, and that is huge in the Marvel Universe, obviously.
That's right.
But I guess you got to go back further than that, in that obviously S.H.I.E.L.D. has tied in very significantly with Captain America because of S.H.I.E.L.D. going down and Hydra taking over. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been exploring that, which has been really, really cool to see because we're seeing something we wouldn't ever get to see in the movies, which is what is happening to this company when it's being destroyed from within. And that's been a huge part of this season, or the second half of this first season. And we finally got to sort of a point where drastic changes have happened. You know, it all came to a climax. But the thing about this was that there was so much foreshadowing for what is not only coming next in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but also coming next in all of the Marvel movies. Because the way that the finale ended is going to have a huge impact on any Marvel movie going forward. So definitely, if you're a Marvel fan, if you're watching the movies, you're going to want to get into the show because it will. As much as the first half of the season wasn't great, it was a bit slow, it does add so much more to the universe that you wouldn't get otherwise.
Do we see any particular heroes or superheroes or anyone within the Marvel universe that is just within the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Because it sounds like it's just more of an agent thing. It's not like a hero thing.
Yeah, there's been a couple of tie-ins. Other than Nick Fury, there was a tie-in with one of the characters from Thor, one of the Asgardians from Thor. I can't remember her name. One of the sort of minor characters. And you're right, it's not as much the superheroes, but it's sort of coming to the point where it might be, because one of the main characters does have some strange origins, and we found out that she has a bit of a weird backstory. We're not really sure where she came from or what she is. And I think that's going to tie in with it. But obviously Coulson is the big thing, because he's such a big part of the movies, the Marvel movies, and the way that this ends sets him up to be a huge part of not only S.H.I.E.L.D. but also the rest of the films, which I think is going to be really exciting to see him come back into it in a bigger part than before. And it's just incredible to see his relationship and the way that he works with Nick Fury. Those two in a scene together in S.H.I.E.L.D., it was hilarious. They have this great chemistry, these great one-liners, some really cool nods to the movies and to things that have happened between them in the movies before, which was really cool as a fan of the Marvel movies to see them and have that come out. So, yeah, all it's right. Definitely worth watching. If you're not watching S.H.I.E.L.D., check it out. It does get significantly better about midway through the season.
And if you're not into heroes at all, whether it's Marvel or DC, Orphan Black could be the go.
Yeah, that's another bucket to get into entirely, because it's probably a bit stranger than superheroes, because what we've got is clones. So I don't think any of you guys have watched Orphan Black, have you? No?
A little bit.
A little bit. How did you not get hooked?
No, because I used to watch it when it was like screening on SBS, and I used to kind of catch the last 10 minutes of it waiting for another show to screen. So
that would be a bit of a confusing thing, I think, to jump into. This show, we're halfway through the second season. They're 10-episode seasons, so they're quite short. And I think the benefit of that is that we get no fillers. It's all incredible, fast-paced content, and it's so well written. I guess I want to pitch it to people who haven't watched this show, why they should watch this show. If you've never heard of it, if you have no idea what's happening, because a lot of people don't. As much as it is a popular show, I think it's still not mainstream enough, and it should be. So firstly, I guess it's about clones. You start off, you see one character, Sarah Manning, in the first episode. She's come back after being away for a while, 10 months later, getting her daughter back after, you know, being sort of on the run, living on the streets. And she comes back and she witnesses the suicide of a woman who looks identical to her. So it's her identical twin commits suicide in front of her, and she goes, what the shit? And because she's in the place where she is and she is a bit of a scammer, she decides to take on the identity of this woman who turns out to be a police officer. And what happens then is that she's tied up in this very unusual web of not only the fact that there's two of these identical twins, but there's lots of them. And so we see there's been about 12 clones so far that we've sort of had an interaction with. But it's these 12 identical clones, and someone is slowly killing them off. So it's mystery, it's drama, it's sci-fi, it's about like every different mashup of elements of, it's crazy. And every episode brings in something new, and it goes to different places you wouldn't even imagine. But what makes the show so compelling is the lead character, or the characters, all played by Tatiana Maslany, who is like the most mind-blowingly talented person you can even imagine. To be able to play 12 different characters, but I guess six main characters that not only have... Yeah, oh my God, yes. Six incredibly unique, incredibly different characters, incredibly strong women, like female characters, I think is the biggest thing. Like they all have these strengths and weaknesses that are just so compelling, and they're all so like instantly recognizably unique, which is incredible for one person to play these. But not only that, she's also doing things like playing three of them in one scene. So you're in one frame, and she's interacting between herself three different times. Like, I don't even know how that works. I don't know how someone does that and yet still be recognizably different in each role. And you look at this and you don't realize that it's one person. It is a mind-blowing experience to see that. And then you get the points where she's playing one character who is pretending to be another character, but it's still recognizable. The two layers are still crazily recognizable, so you know exactly what's happening. So that is the drawing point to this show. It's just such a weird experience to like see this character or these different characters being played by this one person and not even realize that it's happening. And she's so talented.
She must be like the hardest working person in Hollywood, seriously.
Holy shit, yes. It's getting more and more complicated for her as well, which yeah, it's just a testament to her as an actress. She's won a bunch of awards for it. She should be up for more awards for it. Hopefully as it gains more momentum, we'll see that as well. But it's definitely worth checking out. If you're into sci-fi, if you're not into sci-fi, if you're into drama and sort of that mystery element, yeah, it's well worth the watch.
Fabo, Orphan Black, that is TV Talk with Taz. Speaking of TV and what we're watching, it can be movies as well, but it's time to play Power on the panel. This is PWR, what we are playing, what we are watching, what we're reading. Make sure you join in on the comments as well, because it's, I mean, I like to see what everyone else is up to because I can be enticed to join in on what you're doing. So, starting with you, Stardust, Lee, what are you playing and watching and never reading unless it's an anime?
Still playing Elder Scrolls Online.
When are we gonna question shit, man?
Well, whenever you're online, you're like never online.
We are on different time zones. I've been playing a lot, actually.
I noticed that you're on.
You noticed that I've gone up? Yeah, what was I before? Like 12.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to cook everything. I can't get my provisions up. I don't know what's going on with these skills.
Provisions are the easiest skill to level up. It is ridiculous. It's like I wish smithing and all that was as easy as provisioning was. My provisioning's at like level 20 and everything else is like level 5.
I've noticed that, yeah, all my level 5 and I'm 15 for cooking, but I can't find recipes. It means nothing to everyone else, but
It's pretty much you just need to search every single barrel and you usually just randomly come across them.
Yeah, right. Okay, sorry, Elder Scrolls, yes?
Watching Hannibal. It's like next week is the season finale, which is really exciting, so can't wait to watch that. And yeah, not reading anything.
All right, Tobes, over to you.
So I'm playing God of War HD, and I'm playing through the collection again. Haven't played them before, so that's what I'm doing on the PlayStation 3. And I started Hearthstone yesterday on my Mac. I thought
Hearthstone?
I'll
give it a shot. Hey, add me. Yeah. I'm on there.
Okay, I will. I will after this. I tried it, and it's really fun, so I think I'll get back into it. And I'm watching Game of Thrones, obviously, and House of Cards, basically.
Cool. Taz?
Yeah. I am playing Heroes of the Storm, which is Blizzard's new MOBA, which is not a good thing because I got very addicted to League of Legends last time I played it, and I don't want to lose my life to this thing again. But that's in alpha, so it's getting tested at the moment, and I will have reviews and stuff up about that sometime soon. I just rewatched all of Orphan Black, so that's why it's in my brain.
Whoa, you rewatched it. I don't have time to rewatch anything these days. It's like
I watch a significant amount of TV. It's really not healthy. I mean, I'm watching all the shows that are coming out, Game of Thrones, Arrow, Marvel, all of those things. And I am reading a book called Dark Angel, The Beginning, which is the continuation of a show from the early 2000s with Jessica Alba called Dark Angel.
Oh, I remember that! Yeah!
Yeah. I only just watched that, actually. I powered through those two seasons in a week and then started reading the books. It's a really, really, really funny show for one-liners. It's actually quite impressive. So if you haven't seen Dark Angel...
Yeah. I suppose that launched it.
Yeah, yeah, it did.
My housemate has, like, all the box sets of Dark Angel, so...
Yeah, there are... Give it a watch. Two seasons of it, but because they're 21 episodes in a season, and also the first episode is like an hour and a half long, it's a lot to get through. So yeah, it's a good show though. I enjoyed it. Except Jessica Alba fighting herself. There's like a scene where she fights herself and has like the cheesiest dialogue I've ever heard in a TV show, but it's great.
Fighting dialogue needs to stop. Like, you know, wait, one liner, and then when you defeat it, it's like, one liner. That needs to stop. The worst one I've ever heard in my life was in Batman and Robin, and Alicia Silverstone was like to Poison Ivy, "You're compost." No, that's not okay.
It's so bad that it's good though.
Poison Ivy. You're compost. And I was like, it's compost! Speak properly. Anyway, that's why I'll never forget it. Power for me, I am playing Elder Scrolls Online. I actually haven't really fired up anything on my Xbox for a while now. Oh, I really need to finish Assassin's Creed Black Flag. I am watching Arrow finale. I watch Arrow, so I've been playing that, watching that one, and that's kind of Game of Thrones. And I'm reading The Lies of Locke Lamora, and book club announcement. Jump onto geekbomb.net for all the details, but we have announced that the next book for the next 3 weeks of Get Reading is The Lies of Locke Lamora, and it is by Scott Lynch, and Scott Lynch will be on book club panel, so we'll get the author on to talk about the book. Get Reading, it's not a hard one, but it's really, really good so far. I'm into it, and everyone should read some more. So Lies of Locke Lamora will be happening 3 weeks from now. A month. In a month.
On my birthday.
On your birthday. In a month, that's going to be happening. So, yeah, Get Reading. Lies of Locke Lamora. Blah, 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 blah. That's a really good one. I think that's everything. Oh, quickly on geekbomb.net, if you haven't seen it yet, recently I appeared on Schmoes No Podcast and I did my Laura Dern impersonation when she is in Jurassic Park and she's just switched on all the switches and realised velociraptors are coming in and she's like, run, I did that.
You have to do it. You have to do the impersonation before we go into the story. We need to see it because I haven't seen it before.
Really?
Hold on. Get into this.
Okay.
You might have to take the headphones off too.
No! Never! I just need to shut the door, ready? Run! So that's kind of it. Anyway, so I did that there, but there's a gif of when I did it and the Schmoes No Podcast. And then 3 days later, I interviewed Laura Dern for this book, Fault in Our Stars. She's the mother of Shailene Woodley's character. And I couldn't help it. I was just like, hey, Laura. Hi, Sam. Sam Trammell, who is also in True Blood, Sam Merlot. I was like, so really excited about the book. By the way, Laura Dern, I do the best impersonation of you from Jurassic Park. And she's like, oh, my God, you have to show me. So I did exactly that. I did it a lot better because I was able to shut the door. The bloody camera that was locked onto the couch didn't move, so you didn't get to see it. But you saw Laura Dern's reaction to it, and it is one of the best things you've ever seen. So jump onto geekbomb.net to catch out the gift story of how that went down. Anyway, this has been The Week in Geek. Hope you've learned something. Hope you've indulged in it all. I don't know what Matt Cat Tact Lean is trying to tweet us, saying that bombshell makes me think of the word D-word sliding into the third one. I can't interpret that. I'm not sure, buddy. But, hey, really glad that you're interacting. That's what we're about. Any more topics or if you want to play Power, PWR, playing, watching, reading, comment below. It's been Geek Bomb and the bomb has been...
dropped.
That'll do. You never fail to disappoint me with that, Shadows. Thanks, guys. Take care. Till next week. Bye.